Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We are so grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. If you miss an episode of the show, you can visit our website and download the podcast or MP3 of our broadcast. Details can be found on our website. Today I want to share with you a scripture from Matthew chapter 24, where the disciples have been asking Jesus about the things they are to expect in the future. Jesus answers them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of the birth pangs. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time." This is the word of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. As I prepare this message, it's the middle of summer in Ottawa, in Canada, and it's been a great summer, warm and relaxing and very peaceful here. But as I read the news and I am informed from sources on the internet, I discover that it's not at all peaceful for many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Currently, as I speak and record this message, there are persecutions happening in various places of the world. And at this point, our attention is very much on the persecutions of Christians in Iraq. There are problems in other places as well. We heard of the kidnapping of girls from a Christian school in Nigeria some months ago. There are problems during the civil war in Syria. There have been problems for all kinds of people, including Christians, as unrest has torn apart that country. There have been ongoing problems of imprisonment of Christians in various parts of the world throughout our lifetimes. It's a difficult time for Christians in many parts of the world. it makes some of Jesus' teachings a little bit hard to take, a little bit hard to understand. Oh, not this one that I've just read to you from Matthew. For in it, Jesus promises persecution. And we see that is proving true. That there are always times and places where the message of the gospel is hated, not just disbelieved or rejected, but actually the messengers of the gospel are actually hated. It's not that is difficult to understand, but when we turn to the early chapters of Matthew, to the Beatitudes, where Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Well, that's a bit difficult to speak and to have roll off your tongue when you hear about the terrible stories that are coming from these places of persecution. I read of an Anglican bishop who was just horrified to receive a couple, some parents, and he had baptized their child. And they were fleeing from persecution and had to report to him that the child that he had baptized had been killed because of his Christianity. We hear of entire towns where the Christian inhabitants are terrorized and driven out. Where it's been reported that the province of Nineveh in Iraq has been emptied of its Christian population. They fled because of the terrible persecution there. And cities where Christians have been present from the very beginning of the church are now emptied of Christians. It's easy to say the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. And yet, when we hear of the terrible atrocities that are being brought upon people, we say, how can Jesus say, blessed are those who are persecuted? It's certainly not easy for us to say it when we're sitting in peace and comfort and we're torn up by these things. But Jesus does say it, and that's an important thing to remember, that God is not blind to the suffering of those who are persecuted. God has not forgotten them or abandoned them. In fact, God is very close to them. And the blessing that Jesus speaks in the Beatitudes is always accompanied by a promise. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, even as we look at these atrocities, and we should be horrified by them, we've got to remember that our treasure is in heaven, and so is the inheritance of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be comforted in knowing that God does not see this life as the sum total of our existence. In fact, he promised us an eternal life that far outstrips even the pleasures of this world. Nevertheless, as we join in concern for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, we do have some things that we need to bring to bear as Christians, some responses we need to make. And yet, so often we find ourselves uncertain and confused about what we can do. There doesn't seem to be any way for us to stop the persecution. There's nothing we can do as individuals, even as a country. We can't see a way forward to bring peace to an area that is so torn by violence. We don't know how to put into play the call of Jesus Christ to love our enemies and to pray for those who are persecuted. How can we do that? And what can we do? These are serious questions, and they need much more than just one radio program to deal with. However, I want to make a start at that today. I want us to really engage with this problem and to think about what God is calling us to do as Christians. I do want to just take a moment to listen to a song. And this is a song that by Sarah Groves, which speaks about the cloud of witnesses that we've seen go before us, resisting evil, protecting the vulnerable, and helping the weak. And this song is called When the Saints, and it's rooted around the theme of the song, When the Saints Go Marching In, but it's a quite different song. I hope you'll enjoy it as you listen to it with me. Thank you for listening to that song. That was When the Saints, a song by Sarah Groves from her album, Tell Me What You Know. Now, as we move on with the question of how the saints of God are being persecuted in this day, in various places in the world, we do come to that question of what can we do? I was searching myself for answers to this question, and I really want to commend to you an article that I found on ChristianityToday.com. In which the writer spelled out five things that we can do in order to be of a help to those who are being persecuted. And of course, and perhaps this is maybe too obvious, the first thing he said was to pray. Now, it's possible that we might say, well, what are my prayers going to do? How is prayer really helping the situation? But let's remember, we are believers in a God who answers prayer. And he's a God who is great and powerful and is able to deliver. You know, we see this throughout the scriptures. And we see it most wonderfully displayed in the book of Judges in the Old Testament. You see, during the time of the Judges, after Israel had settled the land of Canaan, they were still dealing with a number of enemies that would rise up and oppress them, rise up and cause them great trouble. There were neighboring nations that wanted to expand or wanted to plunder the new nation of Israel. And as we go through the book of Judges, we find this curious cycle where the people start out by knowing that they need the Lord. They know that they need his help, and they're praying to God, and God sends them a deliverer. He raises up one of their own to come and help them throw off the yoke of oppression. And they are set free, and they enjoy their freedom, and then they enjoy it perhaps a little too much. They forget about God. They forget that they need God, and they start following other ways. And then things start to go badly, and that's not surprising. When we lose the laws of civility, the laws of loving one another, and the importance of focusing on God, the one true God who is able to deliver, the problems of life become greater. And even though it was their own doing, when they fell into trouble and were oppressed again, they would cry out to God, and even in those circumstances, God heard their prayer and listened to them and delivered them again. Over and over again, God hears the prayers of his people and gives them deliverance. Now, when God delivers a people, he can do it in so many different ways. In the book of Judges, we see that he raises up one of their own number to bring the message of the gospel and of his faithfulness. The gospel is not yet a part of their vocabulary, but he brings a message of their faithfulness, and he delivers them from their enemies through this person raised up in their midst. That's happened in recent history, when we've seen God raise up Martin Luther King, one of those who was suffering the injustices of the civil rights that didn't exist for his people. And he was raised up and was able to help his people, help the people to find freedom, and to help those who were being oppressive to learn new ways. But God also raises up people from outside the group of oppressed people. Sometimes it's another Christian, like William Wilberforce in English Parliament, fighting steadfastly throughout his life against the slave trade. Or Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States, who emancipated slaves in North America, in the United States. Sometimes it's a friend in the Christian faith who was raised up to give some help and some succor to those who are in need. But sometimes it's even somebody from completely outside. In the days of Israel, when they were in exile in Babylon, God raised up a foreign king, a pagan, someone who was not a Jew, someone from outside of their fold. And his name was Cyrus. And Cyrus was the one who recognized the call to send the people back from exile back to Jerusalem. God used someone from completely outside to do his work of deliverance for the people of Israel and free them from their oppression. God answered the prayers of his people in so many ways. And there are many other ways God has delivered, sometimes by a miracle. There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament about an attack on the people of Israel. And the Assyrians had surrounded Jerusalem and besieged it for so long that bread was a precious commodity. It cost a fortune just to get a little bit of grain. And one day, one of God's prophets said to one of the rulers of Jerusalem, "Don't worry, by this time tomorrow, grain will be cheap. Any kind of foodstuff will be able to be had at bargain prices." And this ruler refused to believe the word of God, and the prophet said to him, "Because you have not believed, it will still happen, but you will not see it." And sure enough, that very night, a group of lepers outside the walls of Jerusalem, who had nowhere to go, they were stuck between Jerusalem, where they weren't welcome because there were lepers, and there was no food there anyways, and between a besieging army that would kill them if they tried to escape. They did some thinking and reasoning and finally decided that they wanted to take their chances on the Assyrian army. At least they had food. And so they stealthily moved towards the Assyrian camp, hoping that somehow or other they'd get past the siege. But as it turned out, they came upon a camp that was completely empty of people. All the food, all the weapons, the instruments of war had been abandoned as the Assyrian army had fled in great fright. As it turned out, God had caused a great noise to rise up, and they heard the sound of a rushing army, and they were afraid that reinforcements had come. God put fear in the hearts of those who were besieging Jerusalem, and they fled and left all their stuff behind. After the beggars had filled themselves, they got a twang of conscience, and they thought, if we don't tell the people of Jerusalem about this food out here, God will judge us, and we will have to make an account for it. So they went to Jerusalem and told the people of Israel that the siege was broken and that there was food to be had outside the walls. When the people of Israel finally believed it, they made a rush. And we've heard about those horrid rushes that take place when there's a Tickle Me Elmo at a Walmart and where people actually are killed. Nothing to make light of. But that one man who refused to believe the prophet's word, he was standing at the gate when the desperate people headed out, and he himself did not see the deliverance because he was trampled by the rush to get the food out in the camp. God delivered Israel in a miraculous way. Prayer is so important in this. I do want to emphasize that. But there are some other things we can do as well. One thing we as Canadians can do is write to our government, to our member of parliament, the persecuted, not just the Christians, but the many other people who are being persecuted in these situations need asylum. And we can help to encourage our government to make it a priority, to recognize the suffering that is taking place and to find responses that help to ease that suffering. We can give to organizations that are feeding, sheltering, and rescuing survivors. How much aid they need when they finally come to a place of safety but still need everything for life because they've left it all behind. They're following the biblical injunction to flee. That's what Jesus told the disciples. When this comes upon Jerusalem, flee. When the persecution comes, get out of the way. You aren't trying to make martyrs of yourself. Get to freedom if you can. And we may be able to help people come to freedom and to survive this horror that they've been through. Another thing we can do is to share the news of these problems with other people so that the pressure builds to find solutions, to find Christian responses to these things. And I would encourage you also to connect with good information sources. If you go to our website, gncm.ca, goodnewschristianministries.ca, the transcript of this talk will include links to the Christianity Today article that I mentioned earlier, and to the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada website, which has prayer alerts specifically for the persecuted church. And when we come to our own faith, there's something we can do about ourselves when we hear these stories. We can learn from the example of the great cloud of witnesses that goes before us. We can learn to endure. We may look at the other things that people suffer, and we may say to ourselves, you know what? The things I'm going through are compared to this, what Paul calls light and momentary afflictions. We can learn to trust God in difficult situations, knowing that, remembering that he's the deliverer, and remembering that others have endured much more and still held on gloriously and joyously to their faith. And we can lay down our lives daily. We don't have to lay down our lives in front of a sword, but we do have our lives to lay down before our own appetites, our own plans and dreams, and in light of the call of God to serve him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. To lay down our lives in this metaphorical sense seems so much easier than to lay down our lives before a sword or a gun. I want to ask you, as I conclude the message today, to visit our website. And when you comment, or should you comment on this message on the website, could you leave me the name of a hymn or a song that speaks to you about the work of God and the call of the church towards helping those who are being persecuted. Perhaps you can find one. In my collection, I found very few songs that had that kind of theme. And if you can help me to build my repertoire, my library of music, I'd really appreciate that so much. Once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. We do thank you because you keep us on the air week by week, and we encourage you to support our ministry financially. Your gift can help us continue to meet that one vital expense that we have for this broadcast, which is the cost of broadcasting. Your support helps us to reach over 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley. So if you can, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, we would like to have you listen to a song called Say a Prayer. This is again a song by Sarah Groves from her album Tell Me What You Know. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Childhood runs across the meadow, taking in the night. Told it we'll be working in the city for a while. Staring from the windows, leaning in the door, flickering like a candle.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.